Support for Spookfound Spotlight is provided by the City of Maryville, featuring a conference center at Mazingo Lake Recreation Park, offering a destination for wedding receptions, parties, reunions, and more. Details on availability and accommodations are at mazingolake.com. And from Kawasaki Motors Manufacturing in Maryville, producing gas-powered engines for lawn and garden equipment for over 30 years. Kawasaki has employment opportunities available now for all three shifts, weekends, and full and part-time. For more information, KawasakiMaryville.com.
Welcome back to Spoofhound Spotlight here on KXCV. Karen W., I'm your host, Jeremy Werner, and joining me as he does for every Spoofhound Spotlight is Maryville R2 Superintendent, Dr. Logan Lightfoot. So it's been a bit. Hope you had a fantastic holiday.
Oh, Jeremy had a wonderful holiday with family, and hope you did too, and everyone else in Maryville. Nice time to kind of be off and a little bit of a precursor to the bitter cold that happened the next couple weeks after that.
Yeah, it's kind of wild that I think we were talking beforehand. It was, 40s, 50s over the holiday break, and now it's weird that it hasn't warmed up to above 30 in a long time. I mean, obviously it has recently, but, overall January's been kind of a rough month. But in terms of snow days, and I'm sure this is on a lot of parents' minds in the district, the district is good, for the time being when it comes to snow days, because I'm sure that some parents are like, oh, man, are we going to have to, go further into the summer? I mean, what's happening at that level?
No, great question. So I put some communication out to parents and caregivers probably last week to talk about this very subject. And so the state of Missouri, we actually don't operate on days for school. We operate on hours. And so there's got to be a certain number of hours that each school district, public school district, has to achieve in order to make it a school year in terms of the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education. So Maryville, we have a couple of options. We have your traditional snow day. And so that's, when there's inclement weather, I mean, I say snow day, but it can encompass anything from, roads being dangerous to whatever. So when it's just a snow day, that means kids are home, no homework, no expectations, anything like that. Now, a new wrinkle that was put in 2021, I believe, was something called AMI days, and that's alternative methods of instruction. And what we're able to do with that is we have a total of 5 AMI days that as a school district we can use whenever we need those, where students, the school is not in person. So buildings are closed to students, but students still have an expectation that they log on. Either teachers send work home with them or they log on to, Schoology, those kinds of things, and they actually do work during the day that teachers assign. And it's, now granted, this is not like a full day of school. We don't expect students to be engaged in hours upon hours of homework at that time, but just a way to check in with their teachers to connect and engage. And so our teachers are available for the entire time that day. Some of our secondary teachers do some tutoring sessions, those kinds of things. So it's a way for us to keep engaged with kids and keep connected with our kids. And also on an AMI day, as long as your student completes his or her assignments, your student gets counted as 100% attendance that day. And as a school district, we don't have to count that day against us for our snow time. So kind of a nice deal. When you add it all up, we have a total of 5 AMI days and 8 snow days. And so once those are all gone, we're into the point where we're having to add on time, whether that be at the end of the year, whatever case that might be. But, if you look back at Maryville R2's history, and, I went back, I think, 15 years, there hasn't been many, I couldn't see any, in fact, years where we actually went over that allotted, we went over 8 days. And so that's kind of what I'm banking. So I guess what I tell parents when they ask is it's unlikely based on history, but we also do live in Missouri. So I would like to hope we don't miss over 8 days of school. That's a lot of school to miss. But once we hit that point, we'd have to add on there. But at this point, I think we're still pretty comfortable, and hopefully we won't hit that max.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely seemed like a lot this month, and knock on wood, it doesn't happen next month or, like you said, we're in Missouri. It could happen in Missouri or April, or, there's still chances for snow, bitter cold, ice. Just that's kind of the risk we have until the temperature finally says enough is enough, and then it's just straight into the furnace.
And that's the truth. Yeah, that's. But those, in a nutshell, that's kind of how snow days and AMI days work in our school district.
Okay. Well, any questions out there for parents to, figure out? They can always reach out to the district. and get more information on AMI days and all that. But it sounds like there's a good line of communication where parents should know this.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you can check our district website, our social media. We also emailed a letter that I wrote to parents that explained all this as well. And if parents do have any questions, don't hesitate to call your child's building. They can explain that also.
Okay. And the other kind of big thing happening for the district is the upcoming bond this year. Mm-hmm. Not to steal your thunder, but go ahead and tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah. So it's, you know, this is kind of it's a long time coming. And, you know, just in terms of our timing and where we feel like our school district is right now, we feel like this is the absolute right time to put this before our public. We've got some needs with our facilities, but we also have some great opportunities, Jeremy. And so why I say that is we've spent about the last year and a half going through and making a long-range facility plan. So what does the next 5-10 years look like in terms of facility improvement, making sure that we have the best buildings and facilities for our teachers to teach in and our students to learn in? And so we've kind of put all that together. And in December, our Board of Education passed what's called ballot language. And so that's the language that our voters will see in April when they go to vote. And all ballot language is, it is specifically telling the voters if this is approved, everything that we would spend those bond proceeds on and how that would benefit our school districts and our kids. And so we did that in December, and we also approved the name of our proposition, and we call it Proposition JUMP, and it's an acronym for Join Us in Making Progress. And it's kind of twofold, because you've got the acronym, but also the idea that, you know, when you think of JUMP and you think of a parachute, you know, to be bold, the first thing you've got to do is make that jump to put the air in your parachute. And so that's kind of the idea behind our board selecting that name. We feel like we're putting some things that's in place that could really benefit our facilities and not just one particular place. So, for example, we're not just going to hit the high school or put turf on the fields. I mean, we're not just going to go to the middle school and do whatever. We're going to look at our elementary school. We're going to look at our middle school, and we're going to look at our high school. Really, and I won't give you the details of everything, because it'd be an hour for me to talk about this. Yeah. But I'm also going to have some opportunities for parents and community members to come out and kind of see this. But we're going to look at spending probably a lion's share of those bond proceeds at our elementary school at Eugene Field in the Early Childhood Center to really transform that building into something that could be very, very good for our students, that would be able to fit their learning needs for the next, you know, not just next few years, but next 10, 20 years down the road, be the most amenable and best facilities for our teachers as well, and also provide us room and space for if there's potential growth. And so we feel like we put a plan together that will accommodate all of that. At the middle school, we're looking at some upgrades with some furniture and being able to be creative with some small classroom spaces that we kind of need there. High school-wise, some renovations and improvements to the main entrance. We're going to actually make a main entrance, some safety improvements to the parking lot. We're going to do some outdoor athletic field enhancements as well. But kind of the common theme through all of these things, and I didn't mention this, the elementary school, is we really want to make the necessary renovations that's going to make our kids the safest and securest to learn in our buildings and be able to provide them with the best opportunities to learn. So each one of those areas, elementary and high school, both has some very, very large elements of student safety and building security.
I mean, the way you laid it out, it sounds like everyone's kind of getting a little piece of this if it is approved, which is, you know, a good thing that, you know, it's kind of being spread around. And like you said, you know, I don't want to, you know, spend the next hour talking about this, but I am curious, what is your level of confidence on it passing?
Well, great question. So there's a couple pieces to that. When you have a bond issue, especially a school bond issue, the first thing people think of is, how is this going to affect my taxes? And so we put a plan together that's going to be a no tax rate increase. And so basically, if that bond is approved, your debt service levy on your taxes does not increase. And so we wouldn't expect our taxpayers to pay more in taxes for this. My confidence in passing it, I'm not side skirting your question, but I'm going to give you kind of my opinion on this. You know, we would not put something to the public that we didn't feel like was going to be very beneficial and very timely and very needed for our kids and our staff. And so everything we've got in our plan, and I'm looking forward to meeting with some of our public and some of our parents to kind of show this off as well. Everything in that plan really does speak to student safety, student security, and an overall better student experience to be a Maryville R2 student.
Okay. And I've heard from various people, won't say who I guess, but that you've kind of been going around town and giving little PowerPoints on the future of the district and all that. Is that kind of tied in with that?
It does a little bit. So really kind of the timeline for it, February the 12th is going to be an all-staff meeting where I get a chance to meet with our entire district staff. And at that point, I'm going to be able to lay our entire plan out for our district staff. So I really want them to be the first to see, you know, what floor plans look like, all those really exciting things about a bond project like this.
Yeah.
And within that time, we're going to put a lot of things out to our local media that kind of showcases exactly what this bond issue would be. The other piece of that, and we'll certainly advertise this quite frequently, is we're going to invite our public, our community, and our folks to come into our buildings. And we're going to set up some evenings that are set aside. I mean, I can go and do these PowerPoints and these set and gets, and those are great. But really, we would love a chance for our parents, our community members, to come in and tour our buildings currently and see what our buildings look like, and then also see what they could be.
Yeah.
And so that'll be kind of a combination. You'll be able to see, obviously, current classrooms, current hallways, things like that, but also see those renderings of what, if we go through and do this, what it's going to look like and how it, you know, could potentially benefit kids. And we'll save some time at the end where I'll meet with folks and I'll kind of show them a little bit on that PowerPoint, just a little bit on the nuts and bolts of it as well.
Yeah. Well, I worded that cryptically and almost ominously, but, you know, I didn't want people out there to be like, oh, well, I haven't seen these plans yet. But no, the people who've told me about these kind of little meetings that, you know, were some of the plans have been shown, all the feedback's been positive.
Yeah.
All of it's been like, wow, I really wish you would have gone into it more. A lot of it looked really great. So, you know, I kind of just threw that out there as like it's a teaser for the things to come that people are going to be able to look at. And that's what it exactly sounds like.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, some of the folks I've been able to talk with, it's just really, it's kind of very, very high level. So, you know, how could this potentially look? How would it impact or not impact taxpayers? Those kinds of things. But I'm so excited to be able to go out and really provide a lot of really good education to everybody in our community. And we'll probably start that about mid-February, and specifically what the plans look like, what the renderings, and how we're going to be able to accomplish this over the next year. All of it's very exciting kinds of things.
Yeah. And I feel like transparency is very key in that regard as well. And, you know, there really isn't any secrets, it seems like, in the Spoofhound District about this. It's very, you know, straightforward. And, you know, everybody knows, you know, even though something isn't being shown to them as of right now, it will be.
Absolutely. 100%.
Something that people can, I guess, tangibly see now is at this month's meeting, there was a bid that was approved. Go ahead and tell us about what that means for the district and what it is.
Yeah, you bet. So part of our proposition jump, like I told you, we're going to be kind of touching all three phases. You know, one of the kind of the, I say easier, but easier might be a relative term, but one of the kind of the quicker turnaround projects would be anything that you do outdoors. I mean, obviously, because you're not getting into buildings or building buildings, those kinds of things. But one thing we're really looking at doing is making some really nice enhancements to our outdoor sports stadiums. And so last month, our Board of Education approved what would be the base bid for our turf. And so we've approved both the turf installer and as well as the base. And without getting into all the minute details of that, you want to get a very, very good base builder, because if you don't have a good base, your turf is not going to last, and you're going to have problems with it. And you want a very good turf product also. And we felt like we've had both of those, and both of those. I want to make sure I'm very clear on this. That's pending approval in April, and so
okay.
We're not overcommitting ourselves as a district by any means. But what we're trying to do is take the most advantage of what we can as we look at construction prices and those kinds of things. We don't want to delay that. We want to get our kids to be able to, whether it be the fields or whatever the case might be, we want to be able to our kids to be able to experience those as soon as we can.
And I know that it's been kind of an issue, I mean, at least from city council meetings and other meetings that I've seen, not only in Maryville, but around kind of the region and area, but our price is still kind of fluctuating wildly because of inflation.
You know, again, great question. From what I've seen, both with site construction, also with, you know, field turf, all those kinds of things, there has been some fluctuation. But if you kind of look at that trend line, the price of construction is not getting cheaper. I mean, you can talk about the wild fluctuations and things, but if you just look at that kind of that growth line, it's not getting cheaper. But at the same time, we're at a point right now to where if, you know, we were able to go through and complete some of those projects, this is probably a pretty good time to do it. Just simply because we're going to be able to lock a lot of those contracts and things in and get those things started pretty quickly to capture some of that pricing.
Yeah. And as Matt pointed out to me, when we were talking about this, he said, you know, it's also great because it's not only great for the football team, but also all the other athletics that'll be using that field, including soccer, which I had not known was using Northwest's field. But, you know, then it'll be back on Spoofhound turf, and then it'll be kind of a real home advantage.
You bet. And, you know, just to use that turf as just a small example of a huge piece of a bigger piece of the pie for our total project. That, you know, the Eugene Field renovations, the middle school, the high school, all those things are huge parts of it. That turf piece really speaks to the overall, I would say, kind of speaks to the overall message. So when you look at those fields, obviously the first thing I think was turf. Whoa, you know. But when you think about that our stadium, our district stadium, which, you know, people automatically assume that's football. Well, we also on that same field are going to have soccer games, so boys and girls soccer. We're also, right now, our marching band, we want them to be able to take advantage of that as well. The marching spook bands, I don't know if you've had a chance to see them the last couple of years, but we're growing in numbers, and we are a very good band. Right now, our band practices in the parking lot on the high school. We want to be able to get those kids down onto a field for obvious reasons, for safety, but also to be able to get those experiences during practice as well. On the baseball side, you've got baseball and softball fields. So that's actually one field that's going to be used by both teams in the state of Missouri. That's kind of an advantage because they're two different seasons. So there's going to be so much there, and I'm not even getting into the point where you're talking about all of our PE classes that will be able to use that at any time. We're not going to look at any cancellations, all those things, which I'll kind of talk about more when people come and kind of visit our schools. I'll talk about those details, but there is a lot of benefit to that as well.
Okay. The other thing kind of happening at the meeting, Board of Education meeting, was a comprehensive energy audit. Is this something that is going to be looked at in the coming months, the coming year? Tell us about it.
Yeah, it's actually kind of twofold. So we were able to, with the Department of Natural Resources in Missouri, we were able to secure a $20,000 grant, which was, we were able, with that grant, able to turn those funds over and do a comprehensive energy audit of our school district. And so, kind of big picture wise, it's going to set us up with a long range plan over the next 10 years on how we can make our buildings the most energy efficient, but in turn being very good stewards of public tax dollars, because when you're able to roll some of those energy savings back 10-15%, that comes way down on the cost of operation for your site and buildings. But also for more immediate, with Proposition Jump, with both elementary school and middle school, there's going to be some opportunities with not only our HVAC systems, but our electrical, our plumbing systems, things like that, that we can look at as options to really, if we need to install a new system or we need to install something new, that it's new, but it also can be, you know, has an opportunity to be more energy efficient and potentially save the district dollars that way as well.
And I'm sure comprehensive means almost everything, and, you know, what kind of light bulbs are being used, you know, when the lights are even on, maybe even windows. And I assume so much of that is in the energy audit.
Yeah, you hit the nail right on the head. It's anything from window efficiency to light bulb. I mean, everything you can possibly think of that goes with mechanical, electrical, plumbing, HVAC, all those things are kind of assessed and audited. And that's not just our current system. They take a look back at our usage over the last year, the last 2 years, how much that's cost the district versus how much savings we could get. We're actually looking to have the team that did that of engineers to come up and present to our Board of Education in February.
All right. Well, something to look forward to next month. Other thing I had, sounds like there's a help wanted sign at the elementary school.
There is. So in December, I think we've talked about this in the fall, Mr. Klotz, longtime assistant superintendent in our school district, actually served our district 24 years, and he is getting ready to retire and was gracious enough. He let us know and put that in back in October, so we had plenty of time to look for a very suitable replacement. Huge shoes to fill, by the way. But we went through an exhaustive search process and ended up having some really, really good finalists for that position. But we ended up selecting Philip Porin. And so Mr. Porin is going to be the new assistant superintendent starting in July, which is great for us. I think he's going to be a great leader. He's got, you know, when you talk about someone with integrity, you know, good decision-making skills, good people skills. He kind of has all that, which is wonderful. But he's currently our Eugene Field principal. And so we have an opening for that principal position. And I, if everything goes on schedule, I'm actually meeting with Eugene Field staff this week, which, by the way, has gotten put off twice because of snow days. But meet with Eugene Field staff this week to talk about the process and how they're going to play a role in that selection process, and hope to have a recommendation for our Board of Ed in February.
Okay. Sounds good. Anything else going on around the district? Those are all the notes I had written down for what's happening.
You know, a lot of big stuff. I mean, we've hit all the big ones on the head, but, you know, just shout out to our winter sports and activities. If you've had a chance to catch any of our boys or girls basketball games, looking great there. Boys have played some incredibly tough competition this year, and I kind of like seeing that in the regular season. You know, they've gone and played some of the big boys, and not only just Missouri, but Nebraska, Iowa also, and I mean, beat some, hung really well with others. I think that'll set us up well for the postseason. Wrestling's had some great showings in tournaments as well. I want to point out our Spectrum Singers, too. If you have not had a chance to see Spectrum perform, it is an absolute treat. It's kind of a tough one for them. They've got four kind of big performances for their entire year, and one of those actually got snowed out. So they're going to reschedule a parent night and a community night to show off their performance and show off what they're able to do. If you are free that evening, it is an absolute treat to watch them.
All right. Well, I'll make a note of that. I hope everyone else does. But if that's it, we'll go ahead and go to the next segment, which is the Better Know a Superintendent, where I just try and think of whatever inane, interesting question to ask. And, you know, it's, as we mentioned at the beginning and kind of said throughout, it's been kind of a really rough start to 2024 in terms of the winter and old man winter. And I said winter twice. Oh, well. The thing that really always kind of sticks out about winter to me is soup season. It's you know, we didn't have that soup season, I feel like, until this month. Like, December was too warm. November was too warm. And so I guess the question I have for you is, your favorite soup. And I don't know if, you know, you include stew in that, because, you know, stew is just, to me, it's a very meaty soup. But overall, I don't know if you already have a soup picked up, which is why I kind of always answer first. But for me, I really like broccoli and cheddar. Just really good. I'm not a fan of carrots in it. If it's just broccoli and cheese, that's fine with me. That being said, there was a place in Kansas City for the longest time called Wade's, old-fashioned, just kind of restaurant, and they used to have a really good cheese soup. And that's how I transitioned into adult to eat my broccoli, was by throwing broccoli in that cheese soup. So ever since then, I've kind of been a huge fan of broccoli and cheese, and that's just kind of a really good warm-me-up kind of soup for the winter.
You bet. I kind of like that answer. So I'm a little bit of a soup snob as well. Got to be tomato based somehow. Got to be tomato based. And if I don't, if it's not tomato, if it's like the broccoli and cheddar, for example, I have to douse it in hot sauce.
Really?
Oh, like I'm talking Texas Pete, like you wouldn't believe. Like I have to. It's just kind of a thing. But got to be tomato based, and it's got to have some kind of meat in it, preferably sausage.
I almost feel like you're just describing chili, though.
Yeah, I kind of am. I love chili. It's like it's a watered-down version of chili, and I could eat that all day.
Well, that's what I've always been kind of curious about in terms of like soup and chili. Where do you draw the line where one becomes just soup and one just becomes chili? Because have you ever had Cincinnati chili?
Oh, yeah, I have. And it's like, kind of like the running chili, right?
It's kind of like just, you know, here's the meat, here's the juice. Do you want beans? It's like, well, of course I want beans. It's chili.
I think the line of delineation is what utensil you use with it. If you can go fork, you got chili.
Really?
It might not be perfect, but that's what I'd say. If you can go fork, you have a chili. If you can't go fork, you have a soup.
Okay. I guess that makes sense. Yeah, that does make sense.
If I had to go black and white, that's how I'd go black and white with it.
But chili isn't like as multi-versatile to me as like soup. Soup, you can, you know, do a bunch of different things. With chili, it's like I feel like you always have to have a meat and bean.
That's true. I'd give you that for sure. Yeah.
That being said, Cincinnati chili, as I said, it's not a prerequisite, but I don't know. For those out there who don't know what Cincinnati chili is, it's very difficult to explain. Yeah. There's like a bunch of different versions of it. in the Midwest. There's a place in KC that did it for years called Fritz's. I don't know if they're still open, but same thing where they'll just bring you out some meat soup.
That's about right. It's very runny chili.
Yeah.
But you can still eat it with a fork.
Have you had it with like spaghetti noodles?
I've heard of that, but never have.
That's where I'm just like, so you're giving me spaghetti now. I'm telling you, if you don't know about Cincinnati chili, it's just weird.
It is. I would agree.
Okay, so the other thing that I had, not necessarily winter related, but, well, maybe it kind of is, because I kind of thought of this Black Friday shopping. So I guess if you got to make a candle, what scent would you want it to be? And for me, I'm not a candle guy. I grew up using incense. I don't know why. I love incense. I love the smell of it, just the kind of earthy aroma of it. So if I had to make a candle, it'd have to be like a very mild yet comforting campfire smell. Just something where I could go, yeah, I'm in the middle of nowhere, but this thing is keeping me safe right now, and I can just now fall asleep to like the either the crackle of it, the smell of it. So if I had a candle, it'd have to be something, you know, campfire-y and earthy, but not to where I wake up in the morning and I smell just completely like campfire.
I like that.
Which, my scout moment, we would always hate waking up smelling like campfire. Anything else that we could care less if we stank like.
But not the campfire.
No.
I like that. Well, I would say mine. So I'm not a big scent kind of guy, but my wife, when I, gosh, one of my first years in administration, she's like, you need to soften up your office. I was an assistant principal, so I got to be the disciplinarian like 8 hours a day. She's like, you need to soften this office up a little bit. And so she came in and did some, I don't know, put some plants in, painted a wall, that kind of thing. And she got one of those Yankee Candle, you know, plug-in things, right?
Yeah.
And she's like, you need to put a scent in here. I wasn't really wild about it. She got one, and this was probably 15 years ago, got one scent, I think it was called Ginkgo, a Ginkgo scent from Yankee Candle, and that is my go-to. I won't do anything else but Ginkgo. So if I had to do a candle, I'd go a Ginkgo-smelling candle.
What's it smell like?
I don't even know. Good?
Well, that's like some, and okay, the whole reason I asked this question is because on Black Friday, I got dragged to Bed and Bath. There is no Bed Bath and Beyond anymore, I guess, at least in Kansas City. But so I got dragged into Bed and Bath, and I'm just looking at all these different candles and scents, and I'm like, either A, I thought this one's promising too much, or B, I don't know what it's promising. I don't know what a babbling brook is supposed to smell like. Like, I don't know what cosmic cake is going to be like. Some of them, like, I just didn't know.
Go with the Ginkgo, like, man. Like I'm telling you.
Okay. I'm curious what it smells like now. Maybe I wouldn't be able to point it out or be able to describe it.
I can't even describe it. It's like, yeah, that's a nice little neutral scent. Not, you know, not too much on the flowers, not too much on the whatever. It's just a nice, all right scent.
Well, I think it's funny they make, soaps and all these different things now geared towards guys smelling like what they want to smell like. This isn't a product placement, but I use Dr. Squatch, and I really like that. And I got hooked, interested because of their ads. But I also know there's stuff like Duke Cannon out there. They sell that at like Home Depot, I think. Huh. And they have these weird like scents like cigarette or coal, or one is like Bud Light or something, like a beer smell. Like some of them I'm just like, just because I'm a guy doesn't mean I need to smell like a beer can.
But I'd never heard of that. Didn't even know they made those.
It's fascinating. Like some of the stuff they're trying to do now to get more people to buy their smelly stuff.
I like it.
All right. Well, anything else?
Jeremy, no. Let's hope the next 4 weeks are a little bit better than the previous 4 weeks with weather, and we're going to be on the good end of spring and not having to add any time on.
Support for Spoofhound Spotlight comes from Kawasaki Motors Manufacturing, producing gas-powered engines for lawn and garden equipment for over 30 years, thanks to the workforce at its Maryville plant. Employment opportunities at Kawasaki are available now. For information on careers, kawasakimaryville.com. Also from the city of Maryville, home to Mazingo Lake Recreation Park, Golf offerings at Mazingo Lake include the Seacrest 18, the Watson 9, and golf simulators open year-round in the Conference Center. Details on tee times are available at mazingolake.com.